Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, September 22nd, and I am reading from the New International Version and then the New Living Translation when we get to the book of Ezekiel. Today we pick up in the book of Hebrews with Hebrews chapter 10. And the title in my Bible says, Christ Sacrifice, Once for All. I'm so excited to read this passage for us, and I hope that it will be such balm to your soul today. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God." First, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctifies them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured a great conflict full of suffering? Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Now let's turn over to the book of Psalms. Today we are in Psalm 119, verses 49 through 72. As you may remember, the name of this project is Project 119. And this psalm is the namesake for our project because this psalm recalls the importance of God's word, of hiding God's word in our hearts, and meditating on the promises of God. Zion, remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. The arrogant mock me unmercifully, but I do not turn from your law. I remember, Lord, your ancient laws, and I find comfort in them. Indignation grips me because of the wicked, who have forsaken your law. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. In the night, Lord, I remember your name, that I may keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. Hate. You are my portion, Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love, Lord. Teach me your decrees. Tet. Do good to your servant according to your word, Lord. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I trust your commands. Before I was afflicted and went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Okay, now let's move over to the book of Ezekiel. Today we're in Ezekiel chapter 45, and we're only reading six verses, verses 1 through 6. So this will be a quick day in Ezekiel. Division of the land. When you divide the land among the tribes of Israel, you must set aside a section for the Lord as his holy portion. This piece of land will be 8 1/3 miles long and 6 2/3 miles wide. The entire area will be holy. A section of this land, measuring 875 feet by 875 feet, will be set aside for the temple. An additional strip of land, 87.5 feet wide, is to be left empty all around it. Within the larger sacred area, measure out a portion of land 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide. Within it, the sanctuary of the most holy place will be located. This area will be holy, set aside for the priests who minister to the Lord in the sanctuary. They will use it for their homes, and my temple will be located within it. The strip of sacred land next to it, also 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide, will be a living area for the Levites who work at the temple. It will be their possession and a place for their towns. Adjacent to the larger sacred area will be a section of land 8 1/3 miles long and 1 2/3 miles wide. This will be set aside for a city where anyone in Israel can live. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I don't know about you, but I am struggling in this section of Ezekiel to understand why so much detail about the temple area and the temple land, and then today the land that is laid out for the priest and all the things. I had to go back to my ESV study Bible. Remember, I told you that some people think this is a literal vision of what will come when Jesus returns, that we'll have this new temple, and others think it is symbolic. I'm going to read just a little bit from this commentary. With regard to the meaning of the passage as a whole, some interpreters understand the vision as a prophecy that will be fulfilled literally, as I just mentioned, with a rebuilt temple and Israel dwelling in a land according to its tribes. Many who hold this position believe the literal animal sacrifices will be offered, but that it will be in a future millennial kingdom that will function as reminders of the complete and sufficient death of Christ. Now, that's where I had a little bit of a rub when we were talking about this temple and thinking of it a couple of days back when there were going to be animal sacrifices presented daily. I thought, no, Hebrews is telling us Jesus did this once for all. So I don't take the literal approach necessarily, although I don't really know what I think. Okay, the second interpretation is to see a vision of the new temple and a renewal of the land of Israel as extended, detailed metaphor predicting the presence of God among his people in the new covenant age. That is, his presence in the church. That somehow this vision outlines God's presence in us today as his church. Another view is that the vision predicts God's presence among his people in the new heavens and the new earth, so that this is some type of vision where not the physical details will be literally fulfilled, but symbolic indications of the great blessings of the future age. So the details about worship and sacrifices are all symbols of the centrality of worship of God. Okay. Let me see here. Finally, it is possible that there are both literal and symbolic elements in the vision. And that as with the visions in Ezekiel 1, this vision describes future realities that cannot be fully expressed in terms of Ezekiel's present realities. Almost all interpreters agree that Ezekiel 40 through 48 is one of the most difficult passages in the entire Bible. So, if you feel a little bit confused, if you feel like you don't know how the Lord wants us to interpret this, you are in good company. Many throughout the ages do not know exactly how to interpret it. And I think we just need to stay humble and understand, as we have been learning in growth groups this week, that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And so even when we don't understand, we just trust that God is working through His Word in us. As we close the podcast today, I want to remind us that the author of Hebrews tells us we are the priest of God. We have confidence to enter the most holy place, and not because of our holiness, not because we deserve to enter or that we are ceremonially clean, but because of the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is Jesus's body. And so we draw near, Lord, with confidence, knowing that you hear us. We pray that you would continue to give us a pure and sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Thank you for sprinkling our hearts clean from a guilty conscience and washing us with the water of baptism. Help us to hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. We love you and thank you and pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.